Good morning. So, good morning. It's good to see everybody here. So today I'll be talking about advocating for public health. And we'll start by talking about why advocacy matters, how to get involved, our advocacy activities at APHA, and what resources we have to help you be a very active advocate. So starting with why advocacy matters. Public health needs a face. So as we all know, public health can sometimes be invisible. It's integrated into our daily lives, and a lot of times the public forgets how it interacts with their daily lives and how it's supporting them. And we at APHA, we go to the Hill and we advocate for public health, but we're just a couple more suits going to Capitol Hill talking about public health. And it's so important to have people who are actually working in public health and who are impacted by public health and who are also from the community being involved in those programs, advocating for public health, that really know it, that are working in the trenches. And as advocates, you really have that opportunity to shape national debate. If you don't say it, nobody's going to hear it. So it's really important to start talking about those public health programs that you're involved in. And members of Congress, they listen to their constituents for two main reasons. One, they care. Two, their job is to get reelected. They need those votes. So you need to tell them what's important to you and what's important to your community. Advocates have the ability to educate their members of Congress to talk about what those public health programs are. A lot of times, public health is kind of this big black box. And a lot of times when I was working on the Hill, we go office to office talking about, okay, well, what does public health mean to you? We'd get, well, it's Medicaid and it's Medicare. We're like, okay, and what else? Well, you know, healthcare. But there's not that idea of prevention, of the community-based programs. And so it's just so important to talk about and to demonstrate the importance of your programs, especially at the local level in your community and at the state. Those programs that are happening in their neighborhoods that they represent. And you have the ability to become a resource for the staff to build those relationships. So then down the road, when you're asking for funding for those programs, they have a good understanding, they trust you, they go to you for more information. And as I'm sure everybody is aware, the budget climate is extremely tight right now. And it's requiring members of Congress to really prioritize the programs. So it's important to always get out there creating that unified voice for support of critical public health programs, and also really coming together as a public health community to talk about the importance of it and not pitting one program against the other, where this one program needs to be funded, let's cut the other one, but really creating that platform that public health together creates the system that's so essential to preventing disease and to promoting health. And it's important to get out there and support the champions of health. Those champions such as, let's say, Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa, who's always out there talking about the importance of prevention and voting for public health, to thank them and to continuously remind them that, you know, you are in support of their positions. But then for those members who are not supportive, don't thank them, don't give them an award, don't let them off the hook. Hold their feet to the fire and tell them that, you know, as a constituent and as a public health professional, that you care about these programs and that you will defend these programs when it comes up to be on the chopping blocks for funding to get cut or for the programs to get cut. So here are some different ways to get involved. Has anybody visited APHA's website on advocacy? Okay. Well, this one, it's a good opportunity. If you just go to apha.org, there's an advocacy page, and there are tons of great resources on there, and we're continuously updating it and putting more resources. And I'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. Good opportunities, good timing to get involved is you really want to learn the process, the legislative and regulatory process, and how to influence it. So when are bills getting introduced, the start of legislative sessions, regulatory comment periods, and newly released data. And also to give you an idea, so our government relations team at APHA, it's a very small and lean team. It's me and it's Don Hoppert. So I like to say, you know, we're lean and we can move quick, but our bandwidth is very narrow. So we depend a lot on public health advocates. We depend on our APHA members, that we say it's not just us that's APHA, it's all of us. We are all APHA. And we really depend on your expertise to move forward with some of these things, especially regulatory comments, different things that are very nuanced and a little bit more in the weeds. We're more generalists than knowing certain issues very well, very in depth. So we really depend on that expertise, and we reach out, but then we also hope that you'll reach out to us as well. And we're very happy to always consider anything that you see as a priority for your work. Other different ways to get involved, to contact your members of Congress and their staffers, to do it through phone calls, through letters, emails. The snail mail isn't always the best way. It usually takes months for it to go through after the anthrax scare. So if it's something that needs to be timely, I definitely suggest emails and phone calls. And they do track these. Public events, attending town halls, attending public meetings and events, it's important to show up and start asking those questions. How are you going to support public health? How are you going to support those maternal child health programs that are so important to you, and get that discussion going? Different media outlets, writing letters to the editor, writing op-eds, getting on some radio shows and doing different social media activities. And I'll go into also different APHA resources we have to support these activities. Sometimes it sounds a little overwhelming. I know a lot of people are extremely busy in their jobs, and sometimes your job doesn't allow you to take action. And so this is your personal, individual time that you're doing after work hours. And so we want to be able to provide as many resources as possible to make this easy for you. And then also meetings. If you're in the D.C. area, meet with your members of Congress. We're more than happy to try to set up those meetings and facilitate that for you. Also, when they're back home during recess time in their district offices, meeting with a congressional member or with the staff, and also offering to bring them in and have them tour and visit your program so they really get a good understanding of what your program does, and they get to also meet the people that it impacts. And that creates that stronger tie, and they start understanding that it's not just a vote that they can say, no, we're going to cut this, we're not going to fund it, but they start understanding that these are people in their community that really depend on these programs. How many people have heard of the Public Health Action Campaign? Okay, good. Hopefully next year when I give this presentation, it'll be 100%. So the FACT campaign, it's our annual congressional summer recess grassroots advocacy campaign, and it engages affiliates, APHA members, and other advocates. And some of our priorities, our main priority that we really focused on this past summer was increasing funding for public health agencies, since that really cuts across the board into everybody's priority areas. Other priorities that we also touched on was supporting the Prevention and Public Health Fund and strengthening the nutrition and hunger programs in the Farm Bill reauthorization. So we provided, on our website, we have a toolkit and resources, and there are a lot of great tools in it. There are fact sheets on APHA's legislative priorities, so it gives you a brief overview of where funds are going, you know, what the Farm Bill is, what the nutrition title does, how it might impact and help your programs. And so you can also take that one-pager, that two-pager, to the office with you when you go on these meetings. So you're able to just easily, here's the information, and it gives you also kind of your talking points. We also have the sample questions for town hall meetings, so you don't feel as intimidated of sometimes just getting that first one started where you have that one set question and you can get that conversation rolling. We also have tips for making phone calls to your members of Congress and how to even just set up a meeting with your member of Congress. It's gotten very simple. Usually you just go to their website and you type it in and it plugs it in and you have a meeting set, or you can also call their office and set it up. And like I mentioned, we're more than happy to facilitate that as well. We have sample phone scripts to talk about these different priority issues, and also sample LTEs, so letters to the editor. This past year, we had some great successes with letters to the editor and op-eds. These we do not post on our website because we found in previous years if newspapers picked up that there were already these kind of cookie-cutter LTEs, they wouldn't publish them. And so we just ask that you email us, and we'll send you that letter to the editor, the op-ed of these different priority issues. And then you can easily make those adjustments so you make it specific to your district, to your community, to your state, and then you can push that out. And we had some great successes. We had many published in Montana, Ohio, Nebraska, North Dakota, and many more submitted. We also had letters going to legislators in multiple states and many congressional meetings. This picture was from Montana, where Montana public health affiliates met with Senator Tester and just got in front of him and started building that relationship, talking about the importance of public health. And then we also had many people taking action on our action alerts, which I'll talk about in just a minute. How many people have received an APHA action alert? Good. And how many people have taken action? Okay. That's okay. I won't judge you. So our APHA action alerts get about a 3% action rate, which is, it turns out that's about average for industry. When other organizations send out action alerts, about 3% of people take action on it. But we would really like to drive that number up, because as we've found, a lot of people are like, well, I don't think it really matters. You know, either it takes too much time, or I submit it, it's the same letter pretty much as somebody else is submitting. What's the difference? I hope somebody else, you know, my colleague did it and we're done. Working in the Senate committee, my colleague who sat right by me, he always tallied all of those action alerts and all the letters. He was the legislative correspondent, and that's who's going to be receiving these action alerts typically. And he would total how many are in support and how many are in opposition. It wasn't necessarily pulling out, well, this was, you know, really well written or the arguments, but it was just, okay, the general idea is this is in support of this and this is in opposition. And it was very interesting. Every Monday morning, we would get thousands upon thousands in opposition of contraceptive ruling in the ACA. Nobody in support, because everybody just assumed the law was going to take care of it. But we're seeing thousands upon thousands who got mobilized after that Sunday when they were talked to about, you know, this is what's going on with contraception in the ACA. And so we track, they would track that, and that's very important. So again, if they don't hear it, they're not going to know. Yes. Yes. So the action alerts, they're editable, but you don't have to edit them. You can include that local specific information if you would like, but you can also just click on it, enter your name, your address, so then it'll automatically populate which member of Congress it's going to, and it'll just shoot straight out to them. So it's as simple as just plugging in your information. And that's about it. But if you would like to go into it and make any adjustments or make it so it's specific to your issue, to maternal child health, then you can do that as well.
But, you know, what I think we should do, just hold your questions until the end, and then we'll finish, and then we can go into all the details. Thank you. Yeah.
So this past year we had 25,000 sent, which is good, but it can be better. And it's just, like I mentioned, it's just such an easy way to let your members of Congress know your position, that you're in support of this program. Okay. We also, so this past year we had 175 APHA members do Hill visits. And we like to encourage everybody who comes to DC to do these Hill visits, and we're more than happy to also prepare you to talk about the priorities, to send you with the fact sheets, and so you're prepared, you're armed to go to the Hill. And it's meeting with your members of Congress is a very effective form of advocacy and really allows you to build that relationship. As I mentioned, we have these tips for meetings, the fact sheets, the vote records that you can also pick up. We have all this information at the advocacy pod, also in the exhibit hall. But advocates become a very good resource for staff that you're able to share the materials, data, the local stories that are so important, and being able to follow up and make that connection so that later on they can also reach out to you and it becomes that two-way road when they need information. They're like, I met with somebody that had great information that's working in maternal child health and we need this now. And so they'll actually start reaching out to you as well. Some other advocacy activities that we do at APHA is we send letters to Congress, to the White House, to federal agencies. And this past year, we sent over 50. They were mainly relating to protecting public health funding, opposing the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, protecting the Clean Air Act, and nutrition provisions in the Farm Bill. We submitted eight regulatory comments. And again, we really depend on the expertise of APHA members. A lot of these are just much more in the weeds than we're prepared for, and so we'll reach out or we'll have APHA members reach out to us as well and support us throughout this process. And to touch on some of the APHA resources that I mentioned, having the sample questions to ask at public events, those letters to the editor, we're more than happy to help craft some as well or to take a look if you would like us to do a review of a letter. We have vote records on the public health legislation, fact sheets, and also state-specific fact sheets, and tons of links to other great public health resources. Our action alerts, as I mentioned, and then this, we just put out our first infographic. Has everybody seen our new infographic yet? Great. So we're hoping this will also be a very good tool as you go out talking to either when you're interacting with the public or you're interacting with your decision makers, that this gives you a good picture, a good graphic of what is public health and the importance of that public health really does save lives, it saves money, and that we need to continue funding public health.
Great.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.